Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And welcome to the latest episode of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. I am your host, Craig Fowler, and I am joined by Joel Skead.
I've not got a hello to match that energy. Hello.
Fair enough. It is late on a Thursday evening as we're recording this, and as it's just myself and Joel, and as I always say, if you've read the name of the podcast, you probably know what it's about as well. But if you haven't read the name and you haven't guessed from myself and Joel being together, just the two of us on a main show podcast for I think the first time this season, then you should know that we're back with our top 12s. We do them every single year. We've done them every single year since, I don't know actually, I'd be quite interested to see when we first started. I need to look back at that. Might have been as long ago as 2015, quite possibly.
We used to do Scotsman articles off the back of them.
Yeah, I think that might have started in 2015, so it's been a long time we've been doing these, and we always start with the goalkeeper before moving our way through the rest of the positions as we get up the park. So, for this year's list, the top 12, we'll be going through them soon. We start at 12, we go down to 1. Before we do that, though, we should probably encourage people, Joel, to come see us live.
Yes, absolutely. Next Friday at Hampden Park, not in the stadium, but in the conference center.
not on the pitch.
No.
Yes, we will be doing a live show. It's the 10th of March. Tickets are £25. That seems a little expensive, but it's all going to charity. We are not making a penny out of this. It's all going to Children First, who we partnered with the year before last, to do the Kit for Kids drive as well, which was quite successful. So the proceeds are all going to them. And for your £25, not only do you get to listen to us talk, or see us, not even listen, see us, and there's a good few of us going. I think there's 11 of us in total from the 15 Strong podcast. So it's very much all your favourites in the same room. You also get a pie, a pint, and there's a couple of special guests as well, with Suzanne Winters, formerly Suzanne Grant, joining us. She was, of course, in the former Scotland Women's International and former Scotland Men's International, Colin Hendry. So, I mean, you're getting quite a lot for your money. And as I also say on the, because we've recorded the Patreon before this, I also said on that this might be the last time you get to see us, a Terrace podcast live event for a while, because we're kind of learning that they're quite stressful to put together. And when we all have, maybe at a time when we eventually grow big enough that somebody, probably me, can have this as my full-time job, then we maybe look into doing more regular live shows. But
you can just be honest, Craig. No one wants to see us live. I'll maybe listen to them on my commute, but fuck paying £25 to see those arseholes. Fair enough. But this time it is for charity, and we might before and after, have some pints. So that's that. That if
oh yeah, definitely having pints.
Yeah.
No, but I've sold a fair few amount of tickets. We have made so far. We made a few grand at least, definitely from the ticket sales.
We have,
but there are some still available, and we would rather, you know, the place was full rather than there be empty seats. Of course.
It's at the moment we're going to have to usher everyone down to the front, like a school lecture or a school a classroom. Just come closer,
Joel. Have you ever like marketed anything? Like, have you ever tried to sell anything?
I'm going for the kind of reverse psychology, get them to feel sorry for us. And then when you spend that £25, we'll feel sorry for you. So it's it'll be flipped.
I'm just going to edit out everything you said.
No, but in all seriousness, get doing the Frank Lampard Volte-Face. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. It will be a fun night. It seems like it'll be a good laugh. Some good sections, quite Scotland-centric, but we'll talk about the season as well. And yeah, it'll be good fun to see everyone, and it'll be our first live Terrace podcast live show since, oh bloody hell, 20...
But we've done the Yotel one. We've done that for...
Yeah, it was more TV showy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of, because it was just me, you, Sean, and Telfer. So yeah, it's the first time we've done it where there's been a big group of us since we've done it at Glasgow Cadets. That was before the TV show started, so it was early 2019?
No, would have been 2017 or 2018. I think it was 2018, maybe.
Late 2018 then? Because the TV show didn't start late. The TV show started early 2019, and we'd already
So it would have been late 2018, early 2019.
Right, cool. Anyway, right, let's get to our list. Okay.
Before we get into the actual top 12, shall we talk about the keepers that have not made our top 12? Mr. Mark Benedetti.
Oh yeah, he didn't even come into contention for me.
Trying to think how many keepers I kind of shortlisted, and there weren't actually that many. I shortlisted maybe 14,
and then 15.
But there was ones who I didn't even bother looking into their goals because I knew they would not be anywhere near it. One of which was Joe Lewis.
He
finished at the top level, and one was Mark Birighetti, who should come in for a special services to comedy award, but not the top 12.
No, certainly not. yeah, dreadful. No Dundee United goalies made my list. No Kilmarnock goalies made my list, although...
Ooh.
Oh! Okay, we'll get to that then. Right, yeah, so probably not say anything else then, in case we spoil it. So let's start with number 12. Joel, who have you got?
I have got Kilmarnock's Sam Walker.
So there's two goalies that nearly made... He might have nearly made it. I've put somebody else on instead that I don't feel too happy about, but it's a bit of a lifetime achievement award. We'll get to him very soon because I've got him next. Mm. But yeah, I did watch all of Sam. I've watched every single shot that Sam Walker has faced so far this season. And I have to say, I saw a goalkeeper that was better than his reputation would go. He still made a few errors, and I think he's maybe been the luckiest. So when I was making my notes on each goalkeeper, I was putting like categories like, incredible save, very good save, error for a goal, and error not for a goal. He had the highest error not for a goals of anybody I looked at. So he got away with quite a bit. So that's maybe helping him slightly, that he's been a little bit fortunate. But I still was, like I said, a bit more impressed with his overall output than I thought I would have been, because I know he doesn't really have the best of reputations. Only recently, Craig Anderson has started to say that he's coming around to him and thinking that he actually might be a decent keeper. But I think he's somebody that does quite well. He gets down well for shots close to his body, which is something I was quite impressed by. He does get stuck to his goal line a little too much, and I don't like where he parries the ball. He needs to be better at that. But yeah, there's somebody there who I think is, especially since he's been pretty much Kelly's number two, well, he's kind of been looked upon as Kelly's number two for all of the season, then yeah, I think he's a pretty solid keeper.
Yeah, so I actually had him higher moments before we came on, and then just because the nature, I think we talked about this off air, just the nature of the list, it's quite interchangeable. It's quite difficult to nail down a specific 12 to 1 or 1 to 12, however you want to put it. But The reason I kind of went into it with higher is because I looked at the stats. First of all, the highest save percentage, that should come with a caveat because Mark Benedetti's top five for save percentage. So it's not a it's not a be all or end all stat to rate a goalkeeper. But the big one is that he was probably had the best. He does have the best preventing goals stats. So I think they work. Why Scott worked that out is in how many goals he's expected to concede and how many goals he has actually conceded. But yeah, he's got an error in him. So have every single keeper on this list, pretty much. I feel he is noticeable, like out of the goalkeepers, I actually think he's noticeably got a weaker side the way he dives, just because some of the way he was diving to his left is how I used to dive to my left, and my left was much weaker. My left side was much weaker than my right, and it's he just doesn't look as comfortable getting down down to his so-called weaker side. But I think he has been a much a steadier presence between the sticks for Kilmarnock, certainly compared to the start of the season, because you talked about not being number one. I think he's played, probably him and Hemming have played roughly the same, but he started the season and then was on the bench for a pretty long time, was brought back in, then on the bench for one game. Hemming made an absolute shocker off an error against County, and then he's been back in. And I don't think he is a startling goalkeeper, but I think he's steady enough, and he's just a solid Premiership goalkeeper. Could have been higher, but I think there's keepers here who have got who are probably either better, straightforward better, or have got a bigger sample size to go from.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm intrigued. I'm going to guess you don't have my number 12 in your list, because he doesn't deserve, frankly, to be on the top 12 for his performances this season. But like I said, it's a bit of a lifetime achievement here. He's been a top 12 goalkeeper in this list I think he spent about a season away, but I would guess he was been in it three of the last 4 years, maybe four of the last five. Doesn't deserve it in this form, but I'm going to give up to him based on past production, and he's not played for a good team this season, so that's maybe fed into it. My number 12, Motherwell goalkeeper Liam Kelly.
You're describing someone who I thought was going to be you're describing someone else, I thought, who's not on my list, but no, he is Liam Kelly's my number 11.
Right, okay, so we've both stuck him on. He's been very poor this season.
So many mistakes. I think this is the most disappointing aspect of Kelly is that, similar to Lewis, is that it's a continuation of a regression, because we've seen Joe Lewis used to be top three in this list constantly, and then he slipped, and now he's out the list. And you can see parallels to kind of Liam Kelly, who's been so good, like you said, he's been on the list for so long. And he just looks like a goalkeeper who has lost all confidence, which is understandable because he plays the defence. He's played behind, watching all the goals Miller have conceded this season. They've conceded some very, very funny goals through bad defending. But he's not helped matters. I mean, I think probably the goal at the weekend kind of summed up his season.
He's handling for shots right at him. It's really been quite suspect.
Yeah. It's a weird one, because he's just... It's how he... So it's hard to explain, hard to kind of explain over the podcast because you can't see my hands. Is that you usually when if you're going to look to save a shot, you want to have your hands kind of at a kind of curve. So like you're creating almost a ball shape for it to come into and you hold. His palms, you've seen at the weekend, they just seem so flat, which makes it easier to palm, but not palm any great distance.
No, because he doesn't really parry it very well either.
No.
And you talked about the poor defence. This might come into one aspect of his play this season. He's not really good in one-on-ones. He's a bit slow off his line. And even when he kind of gets to the position, there's a couple of goalkeepers in this list who I'll praise for their abilities in order to spread themselves and make it difficult for the opposing striker when they get to those areas. Kelly, I don't know if it's maybe he's maybe just been a victim of good finishing, but he's not had a good success rate of rushing out to close down an attacker and stopping the ball in any way this campaign.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it was noticeable how many times strikers put the ball through his legs.
Yeah,
when they got one on one with him, which is never great. Spoke to Graham, and he says there's still a really good goalkeeper there. But his distribution's been really poor.
I still credited him with four incredible saves this season, which is better than a good few guys on this list. So he's still capable of the spectacular. It's not as much. Remember last season when I'd done this, he had like maybe the most or like second or third most. No, it wouldn't have been the most. I think that was Gordon and maybe Seagrass. But he had high numbers in terms of making incredible saves last season, but also that was when the mistakes started to creep in. The number of really eye-catching saves has started to drop a little bit, and that's what's also quite concerning, but there's still enough there to say, yeah, okay, you can sneak into my list. Do better, though, Liam. Do better.
Yes, he has to do a lot better. If he's the calls for him to be Scotland's next goalkeeper are nonsensical at the moment, the way he's playing. And he's another... This is probably a common theme. You mentioned it with... I think you might mention it already regarding goalkeepers, is that he kind of plants himself to the line and doesn't command his box. And Graham says he's got this thing where he gets involved with strikers, which he doesn't need to, and then that kind of just loses his focus, concentration.
Okay, so that's your number 11. My number 11, this is the first in guys where it's like, there's a few guys in this list that I'd be like, right, where'd I put them? How would I judge them? Because if they were fit and they were playing, I know where I'd put them. I'd have a very good idea where I'd put them. This guy would maybe even still be number one. But his leg shattered into a million pieces and I've no idea if he's even going to be able to play again. But I would still maybe gamble on him playing again rather than have a lot of other goalkeepers. So my number 11 is Craig Gordon.
Wow, I have some... I'm significantly higher.
To be fair, if you have faith in him returning and being able to play again, then yeah, that's fair enough. But Gordon himself has still said he's unsure. He's going to do everything that he can to get back to playing football and not have this be the way that he retires. But he's still not 100%. He's not certain himself if he's going to be able to play again. And also, what is that type of injury going to do to his legs? Because the legs are a huge part of being a goalkeeper. What is that type of injury going to do at his age to his ability? We just don't know. So for me, in good conscience, I couldn't really put him any higher.
I have no good conscience when it comes to Hearts goalkeepers, so he is he's a lot higher.
Well, I've talked through why I've got him so low, so when we get to your position, you can talk about why you've got him so high. So I'll focus on the negatives for now. Right, so we'll get to your number 10.
This is the goalkeeper I probably struggled with the most because I thought he was a great signing and there's a lot of times I've seen him like, he's been good, but then there's times where I've heard fans of his team like, I'm probably not as good as he is. Stats paint him really unfavourably, and that's David Marshall.
I've got him loads higher.
He has you know the big red flag for me.
Yeah,
is that any goalkeeper who is save percentage? I know you have to take it with a pinch of salt, but anything that's under 60%, that's a massive red flag. His is 55.8. No other goalkeeper. So the top 11, the top 12 that Opta have, he's 12th. Another 11 are all above 60%. I think you're seeing a once reliable goalkeeper just becoming less reliable. I think he's added to Hibs. There's no doubt his experience is brilliant. He is still capable of making absolutely outstanding saves. Decent with the ball at his feet, but I think there's... you look at the goal we conceded against Celtic at Parkhead, where he just caught it and then fumbled it in. And it's just like that's...
His one main howler for this season, though. I've knotted him down for four errors, but that was the only one where I thought, that's really bad. I think the other ones is kind of like, because I noted them down for the one against Hearts where he just seemed to be stuck on his line for whatever
that,
reason.
Yeah, that one. The one he parried at Shankland as well.
That was another one.
Don't think he dealt with that well.
That's not the most obvious error either. It's quite a close range shot from Ginelli.
Yeah, Hibs fans are going to be listening to this because when I put the two Hearts goalkeepers, they're like, that Hearts bastard, what is he talking about?
Hearts fans are going to go mental when I've got David Marshall because I've got very high.
Which is fair enough. But no,
still rate him.
Good goalkeeper, but I have my reservations. And there's one. I'm actually looking, thinking he probably should be ahead of number nine. But there's one goalkeeper in here who I can't believe I've got as high as he is. But it's a nod to his improvement.
I might have the exact same goal at number nine, but my number 10, first of all, is again very hard to know where to put him. He probably would be top three for me. Yeah, if he have a season like he did last time out, he would probably be top three, but he's played twice this season, so I have to mark him down. And, I mean, you don't know, because there's like a goalkeeper on this list coming up quite soon for me who plays for one of the old firm and it's not been good, but it's like, well, the jersey's probably too big for him. So, but how high do you put that? Because it's like, well, if you take some of these other goalkeepers and you put them in an old firm jersey, do they rise to the challenge or do they wilt under pressure? So it's difficult because we've not really seen this guy. We've only seen him twice this season, so I don't know. I don't know if he can rise to the pressure as a Celtic goalkeeper or not. But I know he was very good at Dundee United, and that is Benjamin Seagrass.
I've got him higher.
Well, it's fair enough. It's because he's very good. But like I say, we've seen him twice this season, so yeah, I don't know where to put him.
So my Seagrass, it was two considerations. Do I have him in at all? If I do, then he'll be relatively high.
I suppose that does make more sense in my one. I'm just kind of marking them down for lack of playing time, which, yeah, I don't know if that makes too much sense or not, but I just went for vibes, really, when I was making my list. I was like, what does this feel to me? Does this feel right? And I was just eventually settled on a top 12, where I was like, I'm not sure how much sense this makes, but it feels right. And Seagrass at number 10 felt right to me.
I think that may just sum up this podcast when we get to number one and I've outlaid our list. It just doesn't make sense. Does it make sense?
No.
Probably not.
No, it doesn't make sense. Right. Well, we just say our number nine in unison since I think we're going to have the same one.
No, I think he's higher for me. Nine for me is Kyle Roos.
All right. Fair enough. I have Roos just a wee bit higher.
He is, he's another one I found a wee bit difficult to reply. I think I actually had him as high as six, similar to Marshall. I think I had Marshall when I started this. I think I had Marshall potentially top five. And then he kind of just slid down. I probably regret putting him 10th, but it is what it is. Kyle Roos was slightly higher and then he kind of came down a bit. He's been a lot more consistent than I thought he was going to be. I think he's one of those goalkeepers. He's a great build, I think, for a goalkeeper, and he gets down really well for the size of him. For a goalkeeper who I don't have on my...
He really throws himself around the goal quite well, and he's very good at getting down low quickly.
Yes, and his, for the most part, he always gets a strong wrist to a strong wrist of shots. Kicking is really sound. sometimes would like to see him dominate a bit more aerially for his presence, for his size, and that's what just seeing a couple of things in the League Cup that was a concern going into the league season. But I think he's been a really solid signing. I think he's been a really solid signing for Aberdeen. Saw how much he was missed when Joe Lewis came into it. I think he's better than that. From what I've seen of that Jay Gort, I think he's been a big miss, but a good signing who I think will probably get will be higher this time next year.
I still think he's made a few errors.
That's the reason he's ninth. Just having watched the goals he's conceded, some of the goals he's conceded, he looked Rangers, for example, the 3-2 defeat.
Mm. Yeah,
didn't cover himself glory in that game.
No, he certainly didn't. I think sometimes as well he could do with better decision making in terms of whether to go, because he is very good at throwing himself down to the ground quickly. But for shots closer to his body, I think he needs to use his legs a little bit more. And he's okay coming from his line, but sometimes a little too hesitant in terms of closing down or opposing forward. And also I think he tends to go for the spectacular a bit too often. Goalkeepers like that give me the fear a little bit.
Mm.
Like, just get your body behind it. I think sometimes he really wants to stop a shot with his arm, where you can maybe just move yourself another yard and block it with your body. Or at least get your body behind it. Right, so my number... Oh, you're looking already. Oh, number nine, which is maybe I thought you were going to say is number nine, who... Big improvement. I probably should have put him higher, to be honest, but he still has made a good few errors this season. Though the errors are gone with making a lot of very impressive saves.
Mm.
And that is Ross County goalkeeper Ross Laidlaw.
Yes, I have him eighth.
Aye, so I've got my nine, you've got him eighth, fair enough. So we can both talk about him at the moment. We've seen him around for years. Big frame. Like, exactly what you want in the kind of size of a goalkeeper. He was just always making too many howlers for me. Bad handling, not making enough eye-catching saves. The handling is still something I'm a little bit dodgy about. He's good on low shots, but he double clutches a lot and shots right at him, which just kind of gives me the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? You don't need to. Like, just catch him first time, man. Come on, your hands are massive. But he has been a lot better. He's made quite a lot of eye-catching saves this season. I think it was for the Player Swaps podcast, the Patreon, that myself, Tony Anderson and Robert Bothwick did. Available at patreon.com/testpodcast. While I was researching that, I asked Mark McDonald, our kind of resident Ross County correspondent, about what they need in the squad. And he said they still need a goalkeeper, but it was mainly to kind of to challenge Laidlaw. Like, I think he thinks they could still do better. I don't think so. I think, judging what he's done this season, I think he's now made himself the undoubted county number one, and I think they should be happy to have him.
Oh, 100%. He's... So he's just turned 30, so he's in that ballpark, being in his prime. He's been getting better and better, because last season I had him like 10th or something. I thought I was like, right, that's indicative of how poor the goalkeepers have been in Scotland. And then if you told me the year before I would have him in the top 12 or as high as 8th, I would have asked someone to slap me. But he has, I think he's been much more consistent. I think he's just grown into, I mean, it's almost like he's realised he's good enough to be a Premiership goalkeeper. He just gets settled down with the errors he was making. I just think it was, it's a lot of that time it comes down to focus. And maybe he's just worked on that side of his game. He does look a lot more focused. The errors he has made this season, I don't think any have been egregious, which has not been the case in previous seasons. And he's just had a much better presence, where you do think he just looks like a Premiership goalkeeper.
A couple of things I've noted in terms of other goalkeepers as criticisms, what I said about Kyle Roos, I think sometimes he could do better to get his body behind shots. And I can't remember who else we were talking about, but I said I wasn't really happy with how actually, Sam Walker wasn't happy with how he parried the ball. Laidlaw's good at both those things. He gets his frame behind the ball, And he's a very strong, confident parrier. He really kind of attacks the ball when he goes to save it, which is a really kind of strong thing to have. And I don't know if it was somebody who made my list or not. I don't think it was. But there was somebody that I noted that they tend to follow the ball a little bit. So, like, they don't go and attack the ball as a goalkeeper. They tend to follow it. Let's see if I can find this. Whoever was it actually wasn't. So it might just have to be somebody that comes up later. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who I wrote this note about, but one of the other goalkeepers I looked at was somebody that just tend to, when I say follow, like kind of follow it almost towards the goal and use that time to maybe try and get a touch on it. Whereas...
Oh, so almost like save, like go backwards to save it rather than go forward to basically, to meet it.
Meet it rather than just try to react it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Who did I write this about? God knows. Right. See if I can figure this out before the end of the podcast. Right. Okay. So that was...
Shamal George, maybe?
Possibly. Let's see as we move up. So we're now on to... So that was your number eight. So my number eight... So for the goalkeepers left in the list, so you've got Sam Walker, who I don't have. And I don't think there's anybody else I've got who you wouldn't. So I'm guessing this is the guy that you don't have because he's had such a poor season. And I mean, this is fair enough. So it's maybe a lifetime achievement award for him as well. But I've got John McLaughlin.
Yeah, he didn't make my list, fed up one.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I think he just doesn't have the confidence and the belief to be a Rangers goalkeeper.
Nah, he's been given the chance to be number one. He's not taken it. He's almost every game he's played, he's made a mistake. And really obvious mistakes as well. It's one of those where he's given a few opportunities to be number one, and it's not just one area of his game that he's been making mistakes. He just doesn't look like the John McLaughlin I know or I remember. He's just really disappointing, and I just really don't think he is. Is he better than some of the goalkeepers on my list? Yes, but the way he's performed, he's not deserving of a place on my prestigious list.
And you kind of thought as well, like if it's not for Craig Gordon, then John McLaughlin's going to be Scotland number one. Yeah, I'm certainly not happy about that at the moment.
Nah.
I mean, I think the reason I've got him is because if you took him out of Rangers or indeed Celtic, that kind of old firm bubble that exists, and stick him in any other team, he'd probably still be very, very good.
Yeah, he'd most likely be potentially top six.
Yeah, and that's another reason not to want him for Scotland, because if you're not going to be able to handle the pressure playing in the Scottish Premiership for Rangers, then you're not going to handle being a Scotland goalkeeper, especially when it's a Scotland team that's got a bit riding on it and we're actually good and you could fuck things up.
Because it was Old Firm game at Celtic Park when Rangers hammered them. Celtic hammered Rangers and... Mind him being selected, and I was like, right, I really want him to do well, just because of what he did at Hearts, and I know how good a goalkeeper he can be. And he was shambolic in that game. Got brought back in more recently when they went to Killie, and some of his decision making. At times you get Alan McGregor gets criticised for his command he's blocked in terms of crosses, but McLaughlin has got. He's been desperate to get involved. I don't know if that's to do with the pressure or the need to, need to be right. I can show what I'm number one, and then he's coming for things he just should not be coming for. And even though he's the size of him, like getting beaten there, it's just been terrible.
Because I don't remember anything like that at Hearts that entire season, like him pressing to come out for crosses that he shouldn't do. And I've seen him do the Rangers a few times this season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is just the pressure that's really getting to him. So, I didn't feel great about that pick at number eight. I found that the goalkeeper, by the way, is Remy Matthews.
Have you got him on your list?
No.
No, I was about to say.
No, I was. No, but I studied up on him. He's had a better season than I thought. But...
So, I was the reverse way. I thought you had... every time I've seen him, I was like, I think he's been a good signing for St Johnston. And then I was made me question was the fact he's prevented goals. It's so bad. The number of goals he's not prevented. And then watching him for a big guy, I just think he's too slow to get down to stuff. And
he's been beaten by a lot of low shots into the corners. Yeah.
And especially for the size of him. So yeah. But yeah, he's not on our list.
No, he's not on our list, so we can stop talking about him. Right, you're number 7.
Trevor Carson.
Oh, that got much higher.
Oh. This top five is going to be very interesting.
I know, right?
And very different. Trevor Carson, he's just a really good goalkeeper. Those above him on my list, I think, are a mixture of longevity, talent, and just how good this season they've had. I've always liked him going back to his Motherwell days, being kind of great, because obviously he had his off-field issues, so he's kind of the great story behind him. But I just think he's such a solid presence, and I think you mentioned about goalkeepers who, when they come off their line, they make themselves so big. He is the ultimate one at this. You've got some goalkeepers who, Remy Matthews is one, potentially Marshall and Roos are one, when they come off their line, I think they make themselves smaller, whereas Carson is a really difficult figure to beat. He's had some really eye-catching performances. He's filled the gloves of Jack Anik so well. He's number 7, typically, because he's just a 7 out of 10 goalkeeper.
Yeah, I've got him higher. I'll speak more on Carson when I get to him, because I've got him that much higher than you do. So, well, instead, my number 7 is Kyle Roos of Aberdeen. We've already talked about him. I don't think there's anything else I'd particularly want to add. We talked about his ability saving the ball. I think that really stood it to me is his reflexes are really good. That was why I say he sometimes goes for the spectacular, because I think he sometimes just flings his arms out because it looks so good. But when he does and when it's needed, it is quite spectacular. Right, so you're number 6.
Benjamin Sechrist.
Okay.
So basically, I just, if it wasn't for injury, I think he might have, he would have played more, especially the cup games, and potentially, I've obviously got Joe Hart a lot higher. Joe Hart's not been, probably not as good as he was last season.
Nope.
And do you think that might have allowed Sechrist to put a lot of pressure on him? I just think, I think Sechrist is a type who would do really well with Celtic or Rangers. He's got kind of that character, personality. He was just too good a goalkeeper to leave out.
So my number 6, I have Shamal George from Livingston.
Ooh! I've got him a lot higher.
Okay. Yeah, to be fair, I think with them, I didn't really see any... To me, there wasn't many saves where I thought, oh my God, what an incredible save that is. I think I did, but I give him high credit on a lot of very, very good saves. Very many very good saves. And only a couple of errors for goals over the campaign. He's got a real spring to him. He really kind of bounces around the box. Just like one of those goalkeepers that look like they're playing... Kind of there's a trampoline under the pitch.
Yeah.
He's very agile.
Yep.
I think I mentioned him earlier and talking about his one-on-ones. He spreads himself. He's susceptible to dinks over him, but forwards don't seem to want to do that against him. Mm. And, I mean, that could just be a case of getting lucky that a forward continually craps himself and doesn't do the right thing. However, this is the Scottish Premiership. Dinking the ball over a goalkeeper takes a certain amount of confidence. Like, only the confidence that somebody like Toby Simic could have. But yeah, usually, like, forwards will just kind of concentrate in those situations on hitting the target and whatnot. And Shamal George will always manage to spread himself, that he gets kind of, like, horizontally, he covers up quite a lot, so it's hard to pass the ball around him. You really have to get some lift on it. And obviously, as soon as you get some lift, you're in danger of getting too much lift in it and putting over the bar. And typically forwards like to just concentrate at this level where there's just not as much confidence in themselves. They just like to concentrate on hitting the target. So for the Scottish Premiership, that technique is perfect. I think the things that I don't necessarily like with him that much is that I think he does, he's somebody else who tends to sometimes move backwards when he's dealing with shots instead of attacking them. And kind of on that theme, I don't think his parry is strong enough.
I'll speak about it when I get to him.
Fair enough, fair enough. So that was my number six, and that means it's your number five.
Alan McGregor.
I have him one place higher.
I did have him one place higher, but I've just switched him. Oh, Hearts bias coming into just the reason I've actually knocked him down from 4 to 5. I'm just thinking Rangers are so desperate to get a new number one, and there's a reason for that, he's just not at the level he once was, which is very difficult to keep because it was such a high level. He's one of those goalkeepers when one on one, a lot of strikers able to slip it under him. It's almost like it's like he tries to tackle the ball and he just tackles over it. Command of the box is always something that's been labelled at him over the last couple of years. In terms of dealing with crosses, relieving pressure. Still think on the main, he can be an excellent shot stopper with some outstanding saves. He's got a fearsome presence between the sticks, and yeah, I still think he's a very good goalkeeper, but just not at the level he once was.
I mean, yeah, certainly. He's definitely not at that level, and he's not a level that's good enough for Rangers over the course of a season.
Mm.
However, that level is still higher than majority of goalkeepers in the top flight, and I'm still impressed with some of the saves he's made down low this season for somebody his age.
Yeah, oh yeah, he gets done both sides. He gets down really well. He's someone who's happy to use his feet, always like that. Mm. Uses his feet really well to save shots. And yeah, his reactions are spot on.
So my number five was David Marshall. Let me just have a quick look at my notes, see if I've got anything else to add on we did earlier. Again, I think it's just the same as kind of just what I talked about McGregor. Really great at getting down to low shots, and something that's very impressive for somebody of an advancing age. And he uses his frame quite well. The Celtic incident being the exception to the rule, because he is, from his experience, obviously he's played at a very high level and, you know, played many times for Scotland. He's somebody else is very good at getting their body in the right position. And yeah, I think I already talked about the fact he gets stuck on his line. But yeah, I think Marshall's been pretty good this season. I think he's exactly what Hibs needed. He's a massive improvement on Matt Macey. And I don't think he's quite as bad as, well, not bad, because you've still got him in your top 12. I think he's been better than you think. That's probably a more accurate way of putting that.
I think so. I'll hold my hands up, and I'll probably got that one wrong and been swayed too much by stats. But as I said, the save percentage in the 50s was a massive red flag.
Okay, so now you're number four,
Xander Clark.
We are so different in this list.
You can't have him number one.
We shall find out, Joe. We shall find out.
He has been a lot better than I thought he was going to be. I was concerned that he's... I know he had a really good the final 18 months of his contract at St. Johnstone. He really came on to a consistent performance, and I just wasn't sure how that would translate if he got the chance to fill in for Craig Gordon. Or just whether you'd be able to step up a level, step up that into that more intense environment than McDermott Park. He's turned into a really, really consistent keeper. If he played more, he would have been higher for me. I think there was concerns coming. Spoke to people who watched him a lot at St. Johnston. They had concerns about his kicking and his command of the box. Both have been really good, and it does help the fact that he's replacing Craig Gordon, whose weaknesses are commanding the box and kick him. one thing that does concern me about Clark is his handling. What did you use to describe Ross Laidlaw? Or there was another goalkeeper where he would take two attempts to catch the ball.
Double clutch.
Double clutch, yeah. He does that quite often when collecting a cross.
Oh, yeah, so he does. That is true.
But that was, I mean, that's kind of nitpicking. The reason I've got him lower is...
So low. Yeah, it's fine. So low. Too low. You've got him underneath Craig Gordon, for fuck's sake.
Craig Gordon's still a better goalkeeper than him.
Craig Gordon might not play again.
You have to judge them on what they've done this season.
I think Xander Clark's been the better goalkeeper this season.
This season, yes. But then you also have to take... You've got John McLaughlin on your list.
Hey, let's not talk about the past. That's done. What's done is done.
To sum up, I've been very, very happy with Xander Clark, and if he can keep up this consistency for Hearts, I'd be absolutely delighted, and he'll be obviously a lot higher next season.
So my number four is Alan McGregor. We've already talked about him. Who's your number four?
Xander Clark.
Right. Sorry, who's your number three?
Shamal George.
Ooh, that's very... Okay, you may as well talk about him then, because that's very high.
I think he has been out the goalkeepers. The eye test from the goalkeepers I've seen this season, I think he's been the best performing in the league.
Oh, right, okay.
The two I have above him are two goalkeepers with vast experience and who are obviously clearly very, very talented. But I think Shamal George has been the best performing player in the league. There's so much I like about him. I really like he's athleticism. I think he's great with the ball at his feet. He's really good with Livingston play, I think, a wee bit more from the back, but he's really good at clipping the ball, especially clipping out the ball out to the flanks. Spoke to David Martindale about after the Hearts game, I think it was, and he basically said he had everything. Everyone's looking for a six foot six goalkeeper, but they're hard to get. He's good with the ball at his feet, great reflexes, he's agile, and he's quick across the ground. And he thinks he compared him to Sarkic, who they had on loan from Aston Villa. The fact that Livy, the reason I've looked at him or taken a keen interest in George is because the fact that Livy paid six figures for him when they seem to have loads of goalkeepers on their books in the summer, mm-hmm. and gave him a long-term deal. I really do think this George could go on to have a really, really good career. He's just a goalkeeper. If I was to build a goalkeeper, he is someone I would like. Is you talked about is the way he spreads himself. He does. He's really elastic. He makes himself look much bigger than he actually is when mm-hmm. he does. When he is like doing that Peter Schmeichel to spread himself when a cross has come out and someone's headed a shot, or he's one-on-one with a goalkeeper. Like I said, like Martindale said, his reflexes are so good.
So you think Shamal George had the best season of any goalkeeper on this list? I disagree. I think my number three has had the best season of any goalkeeper on this list, and that's Trevor Carson.
Oh, okay.
So there's also a bit of prior work in there as well, because he was a very good goalkeeper before his...
Yeah.
Before he had injuries, and then he also had his serious illness when he had contracted deep vein thrombosis, which really kind of derailed his career for a bit. But having gone to St Mirren this season, he's been outstanding. I really haven't watched through him in the clips. I had him down for 3 errors across the course of the campaign. I don't think any of them were particularly egregious from what I can remember. And I didn't really write down anything I saw as a negative, really. Like, it's the mix of the sturdy and the spectacular. He makes good decisions in terms of when to go with his arms and throw himself to the ground, or when to use his legs. As you already mentioned, spreads himself very well in front of attackers. Excellent at doing that. Mm-hmm. He's strong at attacking the ball and parrying it away for goal. And he's also really good at... some goalies are really good at saving low shots, some goalies at the high ones. He's particularly good at saving high shots.
That's not something that, again, I've not done as much in-depth research prior to this pod. It's just a lot of it's just seeing him for the season. That's and watching the goals he conceded. That surprised me just because he looks quite a squat goalkeeper. So you do think that he'd be a much better shot stopper with low shots, and you compare him to George, who I think just looking at him just has a much better spring. And I don't really associate Carson with having a big spring.
No, he wouldn't, because he certainly doesn't have that bounciness to him, but he is very good at getting his hands up and blocking those efforts away. So
he's the one thing that strikes me when I watch Carson, he looks like he has massive hands.
He does, actually. That's a good point. Okay, who's your number two?
My number two is Craig Gordon.
See, I don't get this. Right, if he's going to be that high on your list, why is he not number one?
Because I think he has regressed more than Joe Hart.
Okay, fair enough.
I think the two of them, I think the two of them last season were by and far like the top two. I think I would have had Gordon one and Hart two last season. And I just think they're such good goalkeepers. I think it was only natural that Gordon was going to have a slight regression just because he just couldn't, like, it would have been
he probably had the best single season I've ever seen from a goalkeeper last year.
It's hard to ask him to do what he was doing last season on a weekly basis, especially like the European demands, etc. His faults, i.e. his kicking really came to the fore this season. Still tearing my hair out the fact that it's like he doesn't need any goalkeeping training. Just work with his feet. It's the fact he's so high, lifetime achievement, just because he's so good. And also, just like, congratulations, you've had a tough season. You've spent your 40th, but you spent the Christmas of your one of your new kids in the hospital.
He was away from his family, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Spending time at home. Has to be playing football constantly.
So yeah, I understand the points. I understand folk will be listening about what he's doing, because he's not had as good a season this season.
I just think he might not ever play again.
I think he will. Look at him.
I think he will as well.
The way he's working in the gym.
But how good he is when he comes back is a different story as well.
Yeah, that is. But I just think in terms of what we have seen and what we know from Craig Gordon, I still think he is putting aside to his potential, like the question mark over his future, still think he's the or one of the best goalkeepers in the league.
So do you want to talk about your number one? Let's do that now. Talk about your number one.
Yes, it's... I'm not overly delighted with it, because I don't think Joe Hart's had the best season. I think his reactions are getting a wee bit slower. There's a hesitancy there with a couple aspects of his play, especially when the ball gets played over the top, which happens for Celtic quite often, just because teams have to go back to front against them. And there's a couple of times where he has to close shots down, he's come out too far? Yeah, so basically he's come out and he's not given himself, I don't think he's given himself enough time and space to save a shot. So you know how you're talking about goalkeepers coming to meet a shot? He's coming out too far before the shot's been taken, if you know what I mean. So mm-hmm. he's narrowed the angle, but at times it's went to his detriment. But other than that, he's still... And there's been a wee bit nervousness about his kicking. We've seen that in the Viaplay Cup final. But other than that, he's still an excellent goalkeeper in the Scottish Premiership.
Maybe got the strongest wrist in the league?
Ooh. I would up there. I think Kyle Roos is up there. Trevor Carson probably is the strongest.
Certainly up there. Yeah. Just his arms generally, because quite often you see him and he's very good at just kind of denying a very well-hit shot with one arm.
Yeah,
it's what you could expect considering his background and with the level he played at. Yeah, I mean, it's you forget that when Aguero scores that goal, it's Joe Hart and goal up the other end celebrating.
His forearms are massive.
Yeah. Good bounce as well.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like I was a bit down on Joe Hart. I should come back to the point. He's an excellent goalkeeper.
He certainly is. Certainly is. So excellent, in fact, that he's good enough for number two on my spot. But he's not number one. Number one is Xander Clark.
You've taken a real liking to Xander, haven't you?
I think he's been outstanding since he's come at the Hearts team, and I'm the same as you. I had a little bit of trepidation, but the reason I've got him number one. So last season, I definitely had Joe Hart ahead of Xander Clark, but I'm pretty sure, maybe I was wrong. If I remember this wrong, then my entire reasoning for having him number one makes no sense. But when I looked at all the goalkeepers last season, I felt that Xander Clark had the best season for a goalkeeper in the Scottish top flight outside of Craig Gordon. I don't think he made any errors at all, and he made a number of very good saves. So then you bring that into this season. And since he's coming to the Hearts team, so it is a small sample size. It's only 2 months and a bit, but he's been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything where he's been at fault. And the number of saves he's made that have just been excellent. It's almost, again, small sample size, but if you extrapolated that across the course of a campaign, it'd be Gordon-esque. Like, he's just, and there was the Motherwell game recently where he made two unbelievable saves. But they didn't count because they were like offside. But it just shows you the form that he's in right now. There's like some of the reactions he showed are just absolutely ridiculous. And on top of what you said already, the fact that he's commanded his box has been very impressive in a Hearts jersey, and his kicking has been pretty solid. Then it's kind of, and he's huge as well. He's such a big guy, like broad, not only tall, but very broad as well, which is something I think is quite key for a goalkeeper. So that's why I have him number one.
I remember at...
Fuck you, Joe Hart.
I remember being at Tannadice on the afternoon. Craig Gordon broke his leg. Xander Clark came on. So obviously there was a bit of concern amongst the Hearts fans. But it was just like, I just remember one of the first things he had to do, he's got a back pass. And then he played a first-time ball out to the left-hand side, straight to a Hearts player. And I was kind of like... Oh, this is what we've been missing. This is new. In fact, it's like getting a new toy.
I normally like to finish off the podcast by doing a kind of combined top 12, but we're so far apart on so many of these keepers that that's going to have to wait until I've got time to actually properly sit down. Joe Hart will be number one in the combined list because he was number one and number two, whereas Clark was number one and number four. But yeah, it's a bit complicated because Gordon is number two and number 11. So... yeah, some wild Seagrass number 10 and number 6. Yeah, it's going to take me some time to figure this out. So let's leave it there. As I mentioned earlier, the Patreon is myself, Tony and Rob doing our... We do it annually. We don't do it on the same date. We don't do it at the same time of year. We just kind of pick and choose. We often don't even do it on the same platform. We sometimes do it on the Patreon, sometimes do it on the main show. But we do player swap deals. Player swaps... I've kind of died a bit of a death in football. You still get them occasionally, but not as much as you used to. And we kind of put our hats on and think, how could we improve both teams in the Scottish Premiership via a swap deal involving usually two players, but sometimes throwing a third one to sweeten the deal as well. So they're always good fun, bit of nonsense. So if you would like to hear that, it's patreon.com/testpodcast, and that will be on the £2 a month tier. I think that's everything. Joel? Thank you for joining me. Say goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye. Look forward to the stick I get for some wild choices.
Yes. Yes, I too. And for everybody listening, thank you once again, and I hope you enjoy your football. Goodbye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.